Good to be here this morning. Thank you. Appreciate that. We've got a lot to accomplish. There's a few students right now that are sitting uncomfortable because they're afraid I'm going to call them out. She's hiding. I saw her a minute ago. There she is. Have no fear. I've prayed, and I don't feel like retaliating this morning. Then there was one yesterday at the front of the college that said, you know, when a girl says something, and then they followed up with, I'm just kidding. What they said at the beginning was what they meant to say. She said this. I need a shout out because I need a date for the County Line Orchard. I can't do that. And then she followed it up with just kidding. So I know she meant it, but I am not going to do that this morning. There's a lot I wanted to do. There's a bunch of animals in here this morning. It's good to see Brother Buchanan back there. It's good to be here with you. And there's a lot. I mean it. There's a lot I'd love to say. But this morning I'm going to take a different turn. I've been praying about this for a number of weeks. And I don't think the message that I preach is your typical Hiles Anderson College chapel sermon. It's more of a pastoral sermon. I've had the opportunity to preach this at our church about 7 years ago. And everywhere I go, I have the opportunity to preach this. Everywhere I go for the first time, I'll preach this. And I really, after being here, starting my third year, I really believe there's a lot of hurting hearts in this room. There's a lot of challenges and difficulties in your life. And I want to give you something this morning that will be of help to you. So my spirit's just a little bit different. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2. Nehemiah, chapter number 2. The title of my sermon is actually pretty much the general outline of the message. And Brother Hiles years ago said, I remember hearing him many times in Sunday morning services, he said, you know, hard times are going to come into your life. Difficulties are going to be present. And as a 18, 19, 20-year-old student, I thought, well, you know, as long as you live for the Lord and do right, you know, not a whole lot is going to happen in your life. But Brother Hiles was right. He said, the longer you live, the more times or opportunities there will be for challenges and difficulties to come into your life. And he said this many times on a Sunday morning. Life may be going pretty good for you right now, but the truth that I'm going to give you, even if things are going well, you're going to need to take that truth and you're going to need to tuck it away. And college student, everything may be going just fine for you this morning. This may be a smooth sailing semester for you. Everything is falling into place, but somewhere or another, sometime in your life, maybe out in the ministry, sometime in your marriage, sometime in you and your raising of your children, there's going to be a time in your life where you're going to need to take this truth that I give you. There are men of God here in this room, pastors and people that have been serving the Lord for a number of years, and you know what I'm talking about. The title of my message this morning, most of us have you ever whined before and somebody said, oh, just cry me a river. Now, that's been said in jest. In other words, stop crying and get over this thing. But the title of my message is Cry a River, Build a Bridge. And I changed it from that. Cross over it. And I'll tell you why at the end of the sermon. Cry a river, build a bridge, and cross over it. Everyone is either going through a trial, coming out of a trial, or about to enter a trial. And when trials come into our lives, they can leave us stunned and they can leave us wondering what to do. But it's in those times, college student, that we learn to trust God. Why do we face the trials of life? One author said this, if there is one truth that we must understand about the storms, it is that the presence of a storm does not signify the absence of God. The storm does not mean that God loves you any less. It means that he's doing a work in you that is greater than your most prized experience, which is comfort. And I want you to notice these words. Jesus allowed the storm, but don't forget, he was still in the boat with the disciples. As we look at Nehemiah chapter 2, I want you to stand just for a moment. Thank you for your excitement. Thank you for your spirit. I told Brother Mitchell, I really do feel God's presence in this place. And I'm so grateful that that I'm a part of it. As we look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 to 20, the scripture says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? By the way, let me just say, anytime you set out to do something for the Lord, the enemy is always taking notice of that and will attack. Verse 20, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But we have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord, in these few moments, I come to you and I desire your presence. And I've met with you this morning. But Lord, again, I come to you asking for your power. Holy Spirit, please move in this room. I don't know who this is going to affect. I'm sure it will affect every one of us at different times in our life. And Lord, may we not zone out, but may we tune in to what you have to say to us. Thank you for my dear preacher friends across the country this morning, my sweet parents, Lord, that are praying at this very moment. Thank you for godly people, Lord, that I've been able to have in my life. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Please, Lord, may it not be a service that we struggle to stay awake in, but Lord, may your presence come down upon this place and give us that which we need today. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Looking at the life of Nehemiah, we see that he faced difficulties just like you and I, yet he chose to trust God. And I want to give you some encouragement this morning with some lessons that I learned from the life of Nehemiah. If you'll go to Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, let's look there quickly. The Bible says in verse 3, and they said, here's the situation, here's the setting. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. Notice that word reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. I want you to notice Nehemiah's response. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So we see here, students, that Jerusalem was under great affliction. Probably three words that would describe the situation of Jerusalem at that time would be remnant, ruin, and reproach. And with the news of the gates being broken down and the city in a shambles, we find that Nehemiah begins to weep for his countrymen. And I want to ask you a question this morning. There are difficulties and challenges in your life, and there are things that have happened in our life that, to be very honest, we'd fill up that lake with our tears. In this room, a room this size, there are people that have gone through great difficulty. Maybe somebody has broken your heart. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was another loved one. Maybe it was somebody who was in leadership in your life, and now they're no longer in leadership there, and maybe they've turned their back on the things of God, and it's been a challenge for you in this life. Maybe you've lost a loved one. I recognize that right away. Last year, we had several students that lost loved ones, and this year, the same. Maybe you're going through something right now when people see you and they say, how are you? And you say, I'm fine. But deep down inside, there are things going on in your life. Maybe there is one in here today who has experienced financial loss, your health. There have been challenges there. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saying because of a personal mistake in your life, and you look back and you're living some moments right now with regret. You're going through some difficulties right now, and it's hard to fathom all that's happened in your life, and you decided you wanted to give your best for God, and maybe there was a dream that you had at one time, and that dream has been shattered in your life. There are those that are facing doubt about tomorrow. Someone has disappointed you. Someone has left you. Someone has left you in this life. Everyone in this room has gone or will go through some difficulty in their life. These are things that we don't always want to hear about and things that we're not comfortable in talking about. But I want to say this, as we look at the life of Nehemiah, we find that he begins to weep for his people. Whatever you're facing today, Whatever you'll face tomorrow, it's very real and very much hurtful and painful in your life. And probably you've shed many tears over the aches and pains of life. The songwriter said this, tears are a language that God understands. He sees your tears and he hears your cry. And so I want to give you this first thought in just a moment, but let me challenge you to take time to pour out your heart to God. Nehemiah poured out his heart. The psalmist said this in Psalm 3, verses 3-5. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. I want you to notice this. The passage of scripture says, I cried unto the Lord and with my voice and he heard me. You know that God knows exactly what you sound like? Sometimes we've come to the point of life where we say, you know what, I can't cry. It shows weakness. But I want to tell you something. Every one of you need a time and a place. You go out to these woods or you go out somewhere, maybe on a break or wherever you find time in the quietness of your dorm room. Every one of you need to take time to pour out your heart to God. Every one of us, they're going to be tight. I'm tough. I'm strong. You want to hold that exterior, but inside you're falling apart. Inside you're a mess. And inside sometimes in an attempt to show that, hey, I'm strong. I'm tough. I'm good. We forget to take that time. Number one, cry a river. Pour out your heart to God. I won't go through all the details. And most of you understand our situation, but nearly 8 years ago when our daughter went to be with the Lord, I want to tell you something. Every emotion in my heart and my mind and my thoughts, everything was just going in different directions. And I remember Brother John Francis, who was so gracious in allowing me some time and our family time to grieve, but he never said, you need to come back. But I knew it was time to get back to work and get back to doing what I needed to do to wrap up the school year. But I remember the first time that I jumped in my car and it was time to get back to work, trying to face that new normal of life. Remember getting in my van and driving, getting ready to hit 394. At the time we lived in Crete, Illinois. And I remember holding onto the steering wheel and I had that moment, and some of you in this room have probably had that moment in your life too, where you said, I can't do this. I'm on my way to doing what I'm supposed to do, but I can't do this. Why am I even here right now? I can't do this. I cannot do this. I remember grabbing onto the steering wheel and just crying out to God, God, I can't do this. I remember hitting the steering wheel, just me in the car. I was supposed to be at work and I was on my way to work, but inside I just felt like I couldn't do it. I'm not trying to sound spooky in any way, but I just remember the sweet Spirit of God in some way just putting his love around me, saying, I'm with you. Your circumstances aren't any different. They've not changed, but I'm with you. And as a Christian this morning, where are you at? He's with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're going to go through some things in life that you're here right now, and X amount of years from now, you're going to say, I never was prepared for this. You're going to need the Lord. Pastor here right now. For many years, obviously serving the Lord. There have been many challenges in life, haven't there been, Pastor? Challenges. But God's always been with you. College student, if you can understand this morning that God is with you, you're going to be okay. Amen. Number one, cry a river. What is it in your heart? What is it that maybe you had bottled up? I preached this message in our church several years ago, and somebody slipped my wife a note and said, I'm so glad someone said it was okay to cry. Because you have the opportunity to do so. It's good for you. Get along with God. Cry a river. Number two, build a bridge. Look at verse 17 and 18 of Nehemiah 2. The Bible says, we read it already, but then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Because of time, I will go to the end of verse 18, where he says, they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I want you to notice that Nehemiah took the time to weep. Will you take the time to weep and to pray? But now, he says, we got a task. We've got a job to do. The Bible says this challenge. Let us rise up and build. Number two, build a bridge. He now rises to the challenge of rebuilding the walls. And let me say this, college student, when we go through difficulties in life, and this has happened year after year after year, college students will go through difficulties. But when we go through the difficulties and challenges of life, we can either do one of two things. We can either build a bridge towards God, or we can build a bridge towards Satan in this world. And when we build a bridge towards Satan in this world, some things I notice in the Christian life is that we take on bad habits. We take on bad habits because we're trying in some way to mask that pain and to get through and to get over it. I've noticed people take on bad habits. And I know where I'm at. I know what I'm talking, who I'm talking to. But smoking and drinking and immoral relationships and drugs and pornography and even cutting, doing different things that would in some way mask that pain and let me just get through this and let me get that fixed. And it's that go-to. And I want to warn you college students, be careful of what you go to in those quiet times. Be careful of what you run to try and get through the day. You had a bad day. You had a difficult moment in your life. The devil knows those weak areas in your life. We take on those bad habits. No doubt Brother King and others have dealt with young men and the challenges in their life. And Mrs. Siegward has dealt with our young ladies and the challenges of their life. And sometimes we take on bad habits because we're trying to just get through a difficult moment. We have self-pity. We begin to isolate ourselves from others. We begin to think that nobody knows and nobody cares about what we're facing. We turn our back on God, the preacher, the church, our friends, and our family. That's when we build a bridge towards Satan and the things of this world. I notice also we let our responsibilities go. We stop caring for ourselves. We stop caring about life and our family, our finances, our job. We stop caring and we lose our purpose. We stop praying and coming to church and trusting God. Let me say to you this morning, the devil wants to dethrone God off that special place in your heart. The devil would love nothing more than to take every college student in this room and say, you know what? That's how good God is. That's how good God treats you. God, your God allows that to happen in your life. That's what the devil would want. He wants to take God off the throne of your heart. I love that song. I won't sing it for you because I don't want to impress you and show up others. But I love the song. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. Brother Collins, I love this part. I owe no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. Right. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for thee alone. Amen. Oh, college student, let me tell you something. The devil wants to take God off the throne of your heart. The scripture says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Amen. That's why it's so important. Instead of building a bridge towards Satan and the things of this world, to build a bridge towards God. Amen. Renew your commitment to Him. Get back to the pages of the Word of God. Get back to prayer. Get back to preaching. Get back to praising Him. And get back to God's plan for your life. Good. Cry a river. Build a bridge. I read about William Carey, who was well established in his pioneer missionary work in India. His supporters in England sent a printer to assist him, and soon the two men were turning out portions of the Bible for distribution. Carey had spent many years learning the language so that he could produce the scripture in the local dialect. He had also prepared dictionaries and grammars for the use of his successors. But one day, while William Carey was out, a fire broke out and completely destroyed the building, the presses, and many Bibles. On top of that, the precious manuscripts, dictionaries, and grammars that he had produced. When he returned, he saw the tragic loss. He showed no sign of despair or impatience. Instead, he knelt. He thanked God that he still had the strength to do it all over again. It was said that he didn't waste a minute of his time in self-pity. And before his death, he had duplicated and even improved on his earlier achievements. What gave a man like William Carey the strength to start all over again? What gave Nehemiah the strength to rebuild the walls? It was simply this. Verse 18, they strengthened their hands for this good work. They both saw and understood that the work of God was good. And let me say this as a reminder, the Christian life is still worth living. I love that. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. College student, wherever you're at in your life, whatever season you're in, because he lives, you can face tomorrow. You can go on another day. You can keep on going. You can walk across the platform at First Baptist Church and get that diploma and go out and serve the Lord Jesus with your life. You can do this because he lives. They understood that the work was good and the Christian life is still worth living. Let me ask you a question this morning. In what direction are you building your bridge? Are you building it towards God? Are you walking with him daily? Or are you building a bridge towards Satan in this world? We do that when we yield to the flesh. We do that when what can I find? What can I take part in to make me feel better? And we all understand that taking part in sin, it may bring a temporary high or a temporary feeling of relief in some way, but it always leaves us feeling guilty. Build a bridge towards God. Number three, would you look at Nehemiah 6 and verse 15? It said, number one, cry a river. Take the time to pour out your heart to God. He wants to hear you today. Number two, build a bridge. Build a bridge towards God. And then number three, Nehemiah 6:15. We find, I'm going through this story pretty quickly, but so the wall was finished. So they got busy. It was a great work. They committed themselves to it. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. The wall was finished in 52 days. It was accomplished because a man was willing to work and to have faith in God. Several years ago in our church in Arizona, Brother Daryl Cox came and preached for us. And anybody who's heard me teach has probably heard me make this statement, and I'll to the day I die, I'll preach it and teach it and share it as often as I can. He said this: you can't always trace God, but you can always trust God. Amen. And I want to say this in times of your life where you're wondering, God, why are you allowing me to go through all these difficulties? Why did I have a bad day or a bad Sunday last week? Why did I have some challenges there? Why did this have to happen? Why did this situation have to take place in my home, maybe as a child or maybe now, some situation's taking place. Lord, why is this happening? Can't always trace God in these difficult moments. We've all been there. But you can always trust God.
Amen. Right.
This third thought, cry a river, build a bridge. There's the third thought. Third point, cross over it. Most of us, I heard you say, get over it. I sat across from Brother Luis Ramos several years ago, and we were at lunch, and he said he lost his son tragically around the same time we lost our daughter. And he said, you know, Brother Dominguez, he said, I don't think you can ever get over losing a loved one. He said, but God will give us the grace to get through it.
Amen.
As he said that, you know, I had this message. I'd preached it many times years before. Cry a river, build a bridge, and get over it. And some of you right now, I'm being sensitive to you because your problems right now are very real. And somebody said, get over it. It doesn't happen like that, does it? Oh, okay. All right. I'm over it. You don't. And you'll carry it with you. But God will give you the grace to cross over it. Now, what are you talking about, Brother Dominguez? I love what Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 24. Just listen. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Notice this. So that I might finish my course with joy. I want to finish my course with joy, Brother Mitchell. I don't know how much time I have, but I want to finish my course with joy. Every college student in this room, you ought to desire and determine that you're going to finish this course with joy. How will this be accomplished? I want you to turn, and this will be the end of it. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to give you these closing thoughts. How am I going to finish my course with joy? Each day, of course, I can have his grace and strength to keep on going until I meet my Savior. How are we going to do that? Look at verse 4 of Philippians 4. Let's read that together. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Number one, here's how you're going to finish your course with joy. Get a song. get a song. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, why do you think our pastor, when he comes, I found myself in tears back there because I came to chapel tired, and we began to sing one song after Brother Collins had a couple songs. Pastor got up, let's sing this, let's sing this. I know many of you are thinking, man, how many songs are we going to sing? We do it in church. Why do you think we do that? Get our spirits lifted, get our hearts and minds focused on what God has for us. I have found myself back there in the back pews here in this section with tears coming down my eyes because we began to sing and my heart began to get warm. Let me challenge you this morning. Listen, this whole world has a song.
Yep. Right.
See a bunch of people all the time in their car and they're jamming out and they're going in all kinds of directions and they're singing their song. A Christian, let me ask you a question. Do you have a song in your heart? If you don't, let me encourage you to get a song in your heart. Sing a song about who He is. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our Master. He's our Guide. Sing a song about who Jesus is. Sing a song about what He's done. He's loved you. He's forgiven you. He's died for you. He's sacrificed everything for you. Sing a song about where you're going. Sing a song about heaven. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. But get a song in your heart. Here's the second thought. Look at verse 5. Let's read that together. Let your moderation, verse 5 of Philippians 4. Ready? Your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. It's kind of an 80s term here. But number one, get a song. Number two, if your parents maybe they've said it to you, get a grip. Get a grip. And none of you laugh because maybe you've never heard that before. But anybody who grew up in the 80s has heard that before. Any 80s in here, folks? All right, good. A few of you. Thanks, Brother Lawrence. Get a grip. You've been told that many times. But get a grip. Yeah, I really believe that the Scripture is reminding us that the Lord is coming soon. But I'm also reminded of the fact that He's always there.
Amen.
I can rest because I know the Lord's always there. Several years ago when I pastored, there was a man in our church. I would visit him, and he was a big guy. He was big, and he was big. He was tall. He was the kind of guy that made you a little bit nervous when he got up to walk. You know, and he wasn't drunk, but he was just, okay, if I catch him, he's falling on top of me. There's no way I'm really going to catch him. His name was Walter Berg. Walter was a sailor. He was in the Navy, and he lost his hearing on a battleship. And every time I'd go to visit Walter and his wife, Bertie, I'd go and we'd have some coffee and cake and things like that, all that good stuff, amen? We'd sit down and talk, and he talked about politics and everything else. But, you know, when Walter would talk, he would start, I told you he lost his hearing on a battleship. So when he would talk, he started to talk in this tone, and then he'd get louder, and his wife, Bertie, would say, Walter, pastor can hear you. And every now and then he tried to tell me a joke. He was a sailor. Anyways, his wife would say, Walter, you better make sure it's a good joke. And pastor's here. One day we were sitting in his living room and his wife had gone out. She probably, I need a break from Walter's. So she went out to the back room and he and I were sitting in the living room talking again about politics and things like that. And right in the middle of the conversation, after several minutes, Walter, he started looking around. I thought, what's going on here? And he called for his wife, Bertie. And I thought, oh my, what's happening? Something's happening right now, and I'm not prepared to help him. I don't know what's going on. His wife, as quick as she could come in, she was up in age, she ran into the room, and she said, Walter, what's going on? What's the problem? Here's what he said. He said, I just wanted to see if you were there. I want to tell you something. Sometimes we get through life and we go through challenges and we wonder, where's God? Where's He at? He's always there.
Amen.
He's always there.
Right.
The Scripture reminds us, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Good.
He's always there. You can get a grip because of that. Here's the last thought. Look at verse 6 and 7. The Scripture says, be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here's the end result. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the last thought. Get a song. You got a song? Get a grip by holding on to his promises. And then the last, get another 80s expression, get a life. And by that, I simply mean in verse 6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Get a life of prayer and a life of thanksgiving. You know, I think I heard someone say it recently. Most of us we're grateful, thankful for a nice home and a nice bed to sleep in. We're thankful for a car, but have we ever verbally expressed it? I heard a preacher say many years ago, if you don't think, you won't thank. Oh, college student, let me just say something to you. We ought to be thankful for everything we have.
Right.
I mean, really thankful. And verbalize it to the Lord. Lord, I trust you. I'm thankful for what you've allowed me to go through. I'm thankful that you've given me strength to face another day. I'm thankful for the hard times. I'm thankful for the good times. Lord, I'm just thankful. And then a life of prayer. Do you thank the Lord? Do you pray? I don't have time. No, you have to make time. And I know we don't always have a lot of time. We have to make time to pray. Pray on the way to work. Pray on the way to class. Pray as you get up and walk out the door. Pray, 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 but get a life of prayer and a life of thanksgiving. Some days are more difficult than others, but God will give you his grace each day if you'll learn to trust him. Cry a river, build a bridge, and cross over it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Is God speaking to you this morning? Has God helped you this morning? Has the Holy Spirit provoked you in some area of your life? No, things may be going pretty good right now. That's good. I rejoice with you. But it would be foolish for us as preachers to not warn you and prepare you when those challenging moments of life will come. Is there a problem that's just too big? You can't understand how you're going to make it through? Is there a difficulty that you just have been holding on to and you've tried to do it on your own? You've not entrusted it to the Lord? Why don't you give it to him today? Let me encourage you to be in practice now. You'll be glad you did 5 years from now.